John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 teaches us that by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Say it with me. It is the gift of God. Romans chapter 5, verses 17 and 18 speaks of the gift of righteousness by one Jesus Christ. So much is said in those verses. Also, the 18th verse tells us that through Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men. As we look at these verses, we remember also from Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Every verse that I have shared with you speaks to us about the gift. For days this has been going over and over in my spirit, the gift. You see it on television, you hear it on radio, you see it in the advertisements and the things that are coming through the mails, and of course the beautiful wrappings. And all that comes in that, we think of presents. In fact, this is what Christmas is all about for far too many people. I want you to listen to what I'm saying, because though we live in a different world, the world outside that still has not been touched by 9/11 or the Holy Spirit or Jesus or anything else, they still don't get what our world is all about today. But the world outside of us has been working for a long time, not only to get Jesus out of Christmas, which is Christmas. There's no Christmas without Jesus. I mean, they're even talking about suing Santa Claus. I mean, people have gone from the weird to the berserk, because they say that Santa Claus is a religious symbol. And to see a Santa Claus, it reminds us of the religious connotation of Christmas. I don't know if it was in Connecticut or Pennsylvania, but I know there was at least one school, how far reaching it was, that forbid the giving of a card from a student to a teacher or a student to a student if it had anything religious on it. In fact, I'm thinking that what I heard or read in the newspaper, they just forbid Christmas cards because anything Christmas would be exactly that. No matter how little or how much Christmas it had in it, that it would still be a religious thing. Well, so much for that world in which we live. But I'm glad that I know the real meaning of Christmas today. There would be no America without the God in whom we trust. In God we trust. I wish that I could see David Barton do about 24 hours of television on every channel and go back to square one where America began, not founded by perverts, not founded by the philosophies that are perpetrated upon us today, and really go back and study carefully the roots of how this nation really began. We think about a gift. We often ask, how much does it cost? In fact, that's usually the first thing we think about, unless you're too deeply in love and you don't consider the cost. You will later, but you don't right now. You ask the question, how will it look? Appearance is so important. What statement will it make? Is it duplicating anything that they have now? Is it different enough to be meaningful? Somewhere down the line, it comes into, can I afford it? And do I purchase this gift with cash or credit? And then another question comes in, how long will it take to pay it out on credit cards? I saw an advertisement on the freeway. It said, when ho, ho, ho becomes we owe, we owe, we owe. And they were advertising debt management of some kind. I don't know what that was all about. But I tell you, ho, ho, ho can quickly become we owe, we owe, we owe. And that takes the fun out of it. But I want to go back to what the real text of this message is today, the gift. The gift. The hatred. The hatred and the murder in the heart of one man among many others who believe as he believes has affected the entire world. Our world will never be the same again. No matter how much restoration, there will always be scars and there will always be memories of 9/11. This was not a New York thing. This was not just an Israel thing. This has hurt the economy of every nation all over the world. And the people that have embraced this thing, it's virtually destroyed the landscape of their own nation. But thank God, there's more than individuals that hate and that murder and that live to do that type of thing. By the hate gift of one man, the whole world has been affected. But by the love gift of Father God, who gave His Son, and by the love gift of His Son, who made His own decision and determination, even to the garden, He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. The gift of God has brought life and life more abundantly all over the world. So this season we again celebrate the gift, the greatest gift ever given by the greatest giver in this universe, God's Son, Jesus Christ. I want to consider some things here today. It just unfolded, and I try to minister it the way God gave it to me. First of all, the gift of Jesus Christ is a love gift. For God so loved the world. It's a love gift. There's no other reason for the gift but that God so loved the world. In His first creation committed high treason, most of us would have wiped our hands of the whole situation and gone to something else. But the gift of Jesus Christ, it's a love gift. The sweetest gifts on the face of the earth. Your expressions today, it goes so much further than the monetary side of it. It's a love gift. It's something that came from your heart. And I think, secondly, that the gift of Jesus Christ is a free gift. The wealth of the world could not buy God's salvation through Jesus Christ. Bill Gates could not cash in all of his vast wealth and holdings and purchase the forgiveness of even one sin. The wealth of the world, the gold of the world, the silver of the world, the precious metals of the world, from one individual or the whole world, the wealth of the world could not buy your salvation. It's a free gift. For God so loved the world that He gave. You cannot love without giving. You can give without loving, but if you really love, you will give. God so loved the world that He gave. The biggest giver in this universe is God Almighty. And if there's anyone I don't want to be tight with, it's God. He's going to be my landlord throughout eternity. I mean, one day paychecks and dollars and cents and material things is going to be totally irrelevant. We will eternally be in His presence. And I'll guarantee you from my heart today, because I believe this with every fiber of my being, when we get to heaven, we'll not regret one thing we ever gave. We'll not regret one love expression that we ever extended. When we realize that we're in eternally in heaven because of the free gift. It's a free gift. Wise men and wise women still give gifts to Jesus all year long. The greatest gift and the greatest giver was God Almighty, who gave us Jesus Christ. It's a free gift. So it's a love gift. It's a free gift. But it's a gift that is given to us by God, who is the giver. Oh, there's another interesting aspect to this. The gift of Jesus Christ is a grace gift. By conscience, as a pastor, I have to face reality. And I wished, you know, someone said, well, you know, you should never mention the don'ts. You should never mention the negatives. You should never, you know, just always stay positive. Well, the positive doesn't work without respecting the negative. And as a pastor, I have to speak into people's lives. I know sometimes when people are not pastors, they don't realize that every week somebody's doing something they shouldn't be doing. And if you don't encourage them not to do that, then someone's going to get the idea that, that there's nothing more to life. It is important, ladies and gentlemen, to do the right thing, because sin hurts everybody. Although I'm born again, I can sin. And although I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, I can miss it. And unfortunately, though I'm going to heaven, I can cause myself some hell on earth and cause others some hell on earth. Do you follow me? I'm not talking about salvation, heaven or hell right now, but I am talking about just doing what God said to do. We had a beautiful wedding yesterday, and it was so good to see people in personal conversation. They desired to start their life the right way. They desired to build their life on a solid foundation. And by the way, let me throw it in. You know, it is vitally important. Sometimes the last person to know is the church and the preacher. Oh, by the way, is the chapel available? You missed the point. I mean, we've already made every commitment. By the way, is anyone available to assist us in this? It's important that we seek the will of God. It's important that we seek wisdom from the leadership of God. It's just the rest of your life. Don't let me get too serious about this. It's just the rest of your life. It's another string of prayer requests that come into the power tower by somebody that missed it and really didn't think about it and just said, if I can just get him or get her, everything's going to be cool. But I'm going to tell you, I do is not the end of it. It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. And if you I do with the wrong I do, God help you. It's a grace gift. Muhammad Ali, in the recent Reader's Digest, Muhammad is his God. And his philosophy is that the way life works out, that all the good is weighed up on one side and all the bad's weighed up on the other side. And if the good outweighs the bad, then you go to heaven. And if the bad outweighs the good, you go to hell. But what if you have a bad hair day? Let me tell you something. That's not the word of God. And that's what's wrong with the world today. We listen to personalities instead of the Prince of Peace. Let me tell you something about grace. There's consequences to missing it. I don't have to tell you that. Most of us have experienced that somewhere along the way. Growing up, there were consequences if I missed it. I had parents that saw to that. And I'm better off because of that today. But let's go to the bottom line. Salvation is by grace. If it were not, here's the balance, the pastoral balance. You can cause yourself a lot of hell on earth. Sin is no win. Sin hurts everybody. Sin will take you further than you intended to go, keep you longer than you intended to stay, and cost you more than you ever intended to pay. One night can change your life. There are people serving many years who one night were with the wrong crowd doing the wrong thing. And there is an inequity in juries and judge systems and so on. And so there's people that are serving 20 years for a very small crime and some people that get off free for a murder. I mean, I can't explain that except I know God's payday is not always first and 15th. So what am I saying? Yes, do what's right because it's right and because it's right for you. And because it's right for everyone around you. Because what we do affects everyone. But the bottom line is none of us would make it without the grace of God. I've been pastoring a number of years, but I would not want to say, well, I just hope and pray that all my good works outweigh my bad works. And I remember one lady that came in from a certain denomination. She was very impressed by our church because her church had taught her for years, you never know if you're saved until you die. And if I call the name of that denomination, it would be a name that's in the big three or four of the denominations. And when she heard that you could know before you die, she decided she better do something about it while she was still living. And because she was a college graduate, that made good sense to her. It would make good sense if you signed your name with an X. Why wait until I breathe my last breath and say, I hope, I pray. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Thank God for grace. And you can take this thing as far as you want to take it either way. Doing right has its privileges and blessings and so on. But you know, if we say that everybody's got to believe like I do or they're not going to heaven, what if you make one mistake? What if you lived a great life, but you goofed up the last week of your life? Do you want to stack your good against your bad and your bad against your good and hang all of eternity on that? It's by grace. Oh, thank God, it's amazing grace. It's by grace that God takes all of our junk and all of our sins and all of our mistakes and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. I mean, there's some people who say, oh, yeah, I see, man. But if I said, excuse me, in the next 30 seconds, we're going to flash your life on the overheads here. I mean, there'd be another door made in that wall. Because 20 years ago, maybe you made a mistake that you'd give anything that you had not made. You see, the gift of God is a grace gift. Thank God for grace. No, sir, you don't have to wait until you die and see how the scales weigh with all the good and all the bad. The Bible tells us without God's grace, none of us could make it. It really is amazing grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I don't know what that does for you, but you know, you'll never enjoy your Christian life until you discover grace. And you'll never enjoy grace as long as you're trying to abuse it. I want to say that one more time. You will never be able to relax and enjoy the journey until you discover the amazing grace of God. But you'll never enjoy that grace if you're always trying to find an angle to abuse it. It all comes back to balance, doesn't it? I know some people don't like that, but that's just the way it is. You've got to see the balance of the Word of God. This gift that I'm talking about is a valuable gift. It's the most valuable gift that has ever been given. Robbie, I don't think you'd remember it, but a number of years ago, for Christmas, you gave Granddaddy a little travel mirror. It's just about this big, not very large at all. And that little travel mirror, you were several years younger at that point, has been to Africa several times. It's been to Israel. It's been to other foreign nations. I take that little travel mirror with me because it's virtually indestructible, it seems. and it's big enough to get the image that you need. And I was just thinking of two of the most valuable gifts. That was one of the most valuable gifts that was ever given to me, because I've used it over and over, and I use it at home all the time. A gift that keeps on giving. Someone gave us, I believe it was 25 years ago, a firewood holder. It has a handle on both ends, a little canvas between. Looks very common. It's very used. It's very sturdy. You can pick up as much firewood as your muscle can handle and go up the stairs with it. And I was just thinking the other day, that's gone with us through three moves. God knows how many cords of wood. And instead of trying to go up the stairway juggling three or four logs for the fire, you just put it in there, bring the handle together, pick it up, and you walk up the stairway with it. Now, that's a very simple thing that I just got through saying, but that gift works for us all winter long. It's not pretty now. It's kind of beat up and kind of scarred, but I'm telling you, that thing has saved the expense of trying. I've lost more logs trying to walk up a stairway or go across the lawn or go. You just put them neatly in two or three little, and you pick them up, and there it is. Two very down-to-earth gifts. Have no idea what both of them cost. Don't even know where the lady was that gave us that gift many years ago. They were gifts that kept on giving. Let's go to something that this is material. Let's go to the valuable gift. God gave us His only begotten Son. Now, you might give me your car. You might give me some possession. You might give me money. You might give me, but who among us is going to give us their only son or their only daughter? Now, wait a minute. We're getting too close now. The car, you can replace it. Money, you can replace. God gave us the most valuable gift. Now, listen, I believe in the fruits of the Spirit. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. And I believe that we're going to experience in the days to come the greatest waves of God's healing power that we have ever enjoyed. But let me tell you, there is nothing any more foundational to everything that every evangelical church does than to go back to the value of the gift of Jesus Christ. There are no gifts. There are no fruits. There is no healing. There are no miracles except for the valuable gift that has been given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes churches are criticized. Well, we don't have an altar call anymore. We look across the audience, and if they blink twice, we send an usher to them after the service. Man, don't insult my intelligence. You mean if you don't accept Christ in this service and maybe you just had caught something in your eye, or maybe you wanted to, but you couldn't get your eye together, and you leave the service and you don't accept Jesus Christ and you're taken out this next. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why do we have altar calls early on in the service? And that's not the only time we do. Why do we have a church that has altar calls? If we got nothing accomplished except people getting their lives right with God today, if I got no blessing, if I got no healing, if I received no miracles, if I just was a participant in my tithes and offerings getting somebody else saved, that's a good Sunday in anybody's church. That's what it's all about. Much larger churches that no one is saved on Sunday. And some people can't even remember when somebody was saved on Sunday. Thank God for a church that recognizes the valuable gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave His only begotten Son. This gift can only come through faith, believing that whosoever believeth. Oh, yeah, you're those sinners' prayer folks. Yeah, you got it. Someone approached Rex Dumbard one day and they said, yeah, you're just too simplistic, Rex. You just pray that sinner's prayer all your life. And in his down-to-earth way, he said, yes, but we've seen thousands and thousands of people come to Jesus by praying that same sinner's prayer. Does everybody that pray the sinner's prayer get saved? Not unless they believe it. Not unless they mean it. But I'm to the point now, in weddings and funerals, we pray a prayer of salvation. You can call it dedication, rededication. You can call it anything you want to. But every time we've done it for the last few years, somebody gives their heart to Jesus in weddings and funerals. It's the only thing some people will attend all year long. It's the only time their heart is tender. It's the only time that you see tears and you see tenderness. Well, little Johnny, he just grew up, and it seemed like he just grew up overnight, and now he's getting married, you know. People get all soggy and all sentimental, but oh, right in the middle of when the heart is touched, the Holy Spirit of God, touch them, touch them, touch them. Give them the opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Man, I've been in funerals. I've seen people throw their body over caskets. I've seen people throw their body over a dead body. I've seen people do things that you think you've seen it all. I've seen maybe a few things that you haven't seen. I preached one funeral where the lady that killed her husband had a loaded .38 revolver in her purse. She mean. She was out on bond. The family said, if she sheds a tear, we'll kill her. And she said, if they make a move on me, I've got a loaded .38 in my purse. And the pastor was out of town, and I was associate pastor, so I had to preach that funeral. Dear saint in the church, it was her big boy son who married a tough woman. And every Saturday night they went out to the roadhouse and got drunk. Except on that night he flirted with the waitress. She went outside and warmed up the pickup. And when he came out, she just rolled back over him 3 or 4 times, made sure he's good and dead. And she had no regrets until the funeral. Then she said, oh, my darling, why did you leave me? That happened 1.2 miles from this location right here. I could show you the church where it happened. The funeral director was a precious man. I love him with all my heart. He's a believer. And before the service, sometimes in the ministry, you walk where angels fear to trod. It's amazing what you'll do when you don't know the difference, you know. The pastor's out of town. So I told the funeral director, I said, here's the situation. She's rolled over him until he was good and dead. And she's on out, you know, she's out. The lawyer got her out, and she's got, her hand was in that purse. She showed it to me. She said, if they make a move, she said, they're dead. The family said, you know, if she sheds a tear, we're coming after her. That makes for an interesting memorial service, especially when you've only conducted 2 or 3 memorial services. You talk about crying out to God. And I told the funeral director, he said, oh my, 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 my. And I noticed he stood far to the back of the church. In fact, he was in the doorway where it could... He said, Pastor, do you think she'd do it? He said, I think she's capable. Oh, my, my, my. He said, my, my, my. And typical, when it came time to walk by, hand in her purse and .38 loaded and all, she threw her body over her husband and said, oh, dear, why did you leave me? Strange, isn't it? Some strange things happen in life. I sweat down a perfectly good shirt that day, that's for sure. But it all comes through faith believing. You can join this church. That's wonderful. You can join anybody's church. But it comes through faith believing. Whosoever believeth in him shall not have everlasting life. You know, this is a gift that is for the entire world. This is not just a Bible Belt gift. This is not an American gift. It's not an Israeli gift. This is a gift for all the Arab world. I don't care what anybody says. There's only one answer for the mess this whole world is in right now, and it's spelled J-E-S-U-S. There are not many gods. There is one true and living God, and He had a son, and He still has that son, and His name is Jesus Christ. Not Muhammad, but Jesus Christ. It's not Allah. It's not Confucius. It's not Salt Lake City. And it could go on and on and on. Yes, I know there's some good teachings and everything, but good teachings won't get you to heaven. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. When you stand before the gates of heaven, if the question were asked, on what basis do you deserve to enter heaven? There's only one answer that's going to get it, my friend. It's not that you belong to this church or any other church, but you can say, I trusted with all my heart in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and every sin was forgiven, and my life was changed. It's a gift for the entire world. It's a gift for those in the Mideast, the Far East. It's a gift for the Japanese, the Chinese, the African nations and African bloc, for South and Central America. The gift of Jesus is a gift for the world, for God so loved the world. He didn't give His gift just for Texas or the Bible Belt or conservative Christianity or evangelicals. Jesus gave His life for the world. And I don't care where you are on the face of this earth, the moment you say, Jesus Christ, I believe in You with all of my heart, come into my life, I trust You as my personal Savior. That moment, whether you're in Africa, India, China, Mideast, Far East, Central, South America, or in good old Fort Worth, Texas, you're born again. It's a gift for the entire world. It's a gift that just keeps on giving. Because whosoever believeth in Him hath everlasting life. The thief is come but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. I say to all of our staff and to all of you, never forget the bottom line is trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's what church is all about. I love revival. I love the power of God. I love signs, wonders, and miracles. I love everything that God does. I love the book of Acts. But there's nothing any more precious than people giving their lives to Jesus Christ. It's a gift that just keeps on giving. Do you realize we'll probably be singing Amazing Grace 10 million trillion years from now? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Well, why will we be singing it? Because we'll understand it better then. We'll realize it wasn't for a year or for a week or a month or a lifetime, but it's for eternity that we've trusted Jesus. Oh, saints, I'm telling you, thank God for the gift. Toys break and Christmas gifts wear out, and some people appreciate Christmas gifts and some people don't. But oh, thank God for the gift that just keeps on giving. Every day of my life, that gift keeps on giving love and mercy and grace and compassion and hope and grace. Every day of my life, while I'm preaching, I'm almost overwhelmed. I'm having to discipline myself as I realize that even this very day, the gift that I embraced many years ago just keeps on giving to me today, and the overflow of it's going into your life. It's a gift that keeps on giving. Well, wise men still bring gifts to Jesus. They brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. And while the hatred of one man, isn't it amazing that one man could so hate, so full of hate, and he's not the only one. He's not the only one. There's a circle of those around him. But because of the hate of one man, there's a lot of empty chairs in New York today. There'll be empty chairs around the Christmas dinner. There's empty chairs in the fire hall. There's empty chairs in the police department. There's empty chairs in people of all nationalities. And some people still don't get it. We ought to just try to negotiate peace. You know, I really understand more perfectly. There's two things I understand more perfectly. I understand what these folks really believe. And do you realize that this thing's been exposed to the whole world? It was covered up. But now the whole world's going to know what they believe. The whole world. And I'm telling you, if there's a red-blooded woman on the face of God's earth that is sympathetic toward that, but the hatred of one man, thousands of people taken into eternity. And the one that perpetrated that had a chuckle that even his own people weren't aware of what was